Now Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon with a skin disease. A woman came to him who had an alabaster vessel of extremely valuable wine, and she poured it on his head as he sat at table. But when the disciples saw it, they were angry and said, "What purpose does this waste serve? For this could have been sold for much, and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, understanding, said to them, "Why are you making this trouble for the woman? She has done something good for me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. By pouring this balm on my body, she has prepared me for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever this good news is proclaimed in remembrance of her."
Morning, morning to those on Zoom as well. As always, it's great to be present at a baptism. So, congratulations to Magnus and his family and friends. Today, with another of those readings that, if you've been going to church for a long time, you've probably heard before and heard various talks of. Or if this is the first time you've heard it, then I wonder what you're thinking about it. What is this story really about? Jesus has some balm or perfume poured on him, and some other people have the hope about this. And who is this story especially for? Who is it speaking to? The gospel accounts of the life of Jesus can, and often are, about multiple things all at once. This is common in much told of stories, both those that are true and those which are fiction. For example, if we think about the original Star Wars, is it just about the Empire trying to crush the much smaller, less well-equipped rebels? Or is it really an analogy of the USA fighting in Vietnam? Or is it about an old man seeking redemption by sacrificing his life? Or about a young man finding a new family through friends? Or maybe it's just the events leading up to the destruction of something called the Death Star. Maybe it's all of those, or something else. And depending on who you are, what your background is, what your age is, your experience of life, it's likely that different aspects of the Star Wars story will resonate differently with you. And today's passage is like that too. Different elements of the story will resonate differently with different people. I wonder what aspects jump out at you, or whether you see yourself in any of the characters. The few verses before these tell us that this story is about 2 days before the celebration of Passover. In the context of the Easter story, this particular Passover in 2 days' time will come to also be called the Last Supper, since it will take place on the evening Jesus is arrested before being put to death the following day on Good Friday. So this story is very close to Easter, and the knowledge of what is coming for Jesus, the sacrifice that he'll make for us all, is coming into sharp focus. And the reading highlights Jesus being prepared for his death by the anointing of balm for his burial. His sacrificial death will be the fulfillment of God's plan to bless us all and bring us back into a relationship with him through Jesus' sacrifice. But even under the pressure that Jesus was presumably feeling, as he knew what was getting closer, he doesn't just focus on the prophetic thing that's taking place and relish the deep symbolism. No, he responds with love and care to this woman through his rebuke of the disciples when they complain that the balm hasn't been sold with the money given to the poor. From what I can find out, the Jewish tradition of preparing a body for burial would be divided along gender lines. Women being prepared by women and men by men. But here we have a woman being involved symbolically and practically in the preparation of Jesus' body for burial. So even if the disciples had noticed the symbolism, they're perhaps surprised, perhaps shocked And Jesus is allowing the woman to do this. Jesus is not embarrassed or shamed by this being outside the Jewish tradition. Instead, far more importantly, he is on earth to point to the fact that God loves us all so much that Jesus is willing to be put to death for each and every one of us. So in an absolutely practical sense here, Jesus demonstrates that he is accessible to all. He's not just reserved for some, or just for the main disciples in this story. So at first glance, we might have thought this story is a footnote of the main Easter event. But from this outpouring of love for this woman through her actions, we have an integral part of the story of Easter. It does feel unfortunate, though, that her name is not recorded accurately. Even though Jesus says she'll always be remembered for her actions wherever the gospel is preached, and here we are talking about her. And I think I need to acknowledge what, to me, is probably the elephant in the room in this passage, which I feel could be overlooked, but I'm going to talk about it. It's to do with the way women and men are presented here. In this story, we have a woman whose name the male writer hasn't recorded accurately, yet who Jesus says of her, she has done something good for me, which is pretty significant. And we have the male disciples whose identities have already been established, described as being angry, complaining about the actions of this woman. Now, I don't say this to be simplistic or divisive. I don't think that's a helpful way to get stuck on this. But just to point out that it can be easy when we think about a story like this, and perhaps many others in the Bible, to gloss over what we read and not really consider that even in a situation where Jesus is present and he acts with love and calls his disciples out, his disciples, we would say, they cannot simply be pleased and delighted that another person, a woman, is responding to the love shown by Jesus, which they also have the opportunity and joy to respond to. They make it about how their approach is better, and that their way of doing things is the right way to behave. The disciples act like they know what's best, and what they say, rather pompously, I think, what purpose does this waste serve, is patronizing. A few weeks ago in church, we had a reading about the feeding of many women, children, and 5,000 men. And the disciples were present for that. So they could have said to themselves in today's reading, we have the Son of God with us. All things are possible. We've seen him multiply food miraculously and provide without needing money or extra ingredients. Clearly, money is not the thing we should be focusing on. Instead, they complain that a woman hasn't sold the valuable jar of balm for cash before, rather than allow her to express her love for Jesus. Jesus is talking to this point when he says to those present, the poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. There's a sense of him saying, you're really missing the point here. Stop fussing about the wrong thing. So as well as being patronizing of the woman, they're overlooking the miraculous possibilities of Jesus, making an issue about money rather than a woman's expression of her love for Jesus. But I also can't help wondering, as I picture this event in my mind's eye, even after all they've seen and learned from Jesus, whether they're somewhat disgruntled for this woman, who in the context of the story and her lack of name might suggest is something of an outsider, is given as much time of day by Jesus as any other man would be. Perhaps she is upsetting their sense of place and purpose. Why would anyone feel insecure about letting other people express their love for Jesus because it doesn't fit with their understanding. And yet, are there times when we're in this passage is reminding us to be aware of how we look at others and zeal. And remind us that it's not for us to get in the way of the love shown by God to others and their response to God. All are invited by God to share in His love. We mustn't put barriers in other people's way. In fact, more than that, we should be helping to tear down any barriers which are preventing you from experiencing God's love. The church has certainly not always demonstrated that all are welcomed by God and all can have a relationship with Him. It is still struggling with this today. We who call ourselves Christians need to respond with love to all our sisters and brothers and build a church which follows the example of Jesus. How are we doing in Good Shepherd? What else do we need to do to be more welcoming, more open to everyone, where everyone feels represented and seen? As part of the Church Lent book club, I've been reading Queer Holiness by Charlie Bell, who's a priest in our diocese, and then discussing with others once a week what we've been learning. Something that I read resonated particularly with me regarding today's passage, as Charlie presents a challenge about our attitude to things we're not sure about or are uncomfortable with, and the practice of othering people. Essentially, seeing certain people is entirely different to ourselves. Being so different that we don't see that we share anything in common, and so therefore they can come to seem somehow inferior to us. This made me think more on the words Jesus said to the disciples, "Why are you making trouble for this woman?" It's as though Jesus can see the disciples are seeing the woman as different from them. They're seeing barriers between her actions and their thinking, and Jesus challenges them about their attitude. And Jesus challenges us in this. I think people in this church try hard to be welcoming and open to everyone, but we can always do more. What else should we be doing? I haven't got the answer, but it's something we need to continue to engage with and continue asking God to help us with. By nature, we tend to congregate around people who are broadly like us. But a church is different. We should expect to encounter people from all walks of life, all backgrounds, representatives of all evolution. And are there voices in our church that need to be heard more? Says the white, middle-aged, heterosexual man. Undoubtedly, yes. So to draw these threads together as we approach Easter and remember Jesus' demonstration of His astonishing love for us all, today's story shows us that if you don't feel seen or heard, Jesus sees you. If you don't feel seen or heard by the church, Jesus sees you. If you don't feel seen by your family, Jesus sees you. If you don't feel seen by society, Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you. He sees your hopes, your dreams, what is on your heart. He knows who you are inside. He loves you. You're His child. So let's seek to be more like Jesus in our attitudes to others. Let's remember that God loves us to be generous, both to Him and to others in spirit as well as in practical terms. Because all are loved as we are loved.